I hope you find the message today to be spiritually uplifting and to fill you throughout the week. May God bless you as you listen to His Word.
The scripture today is Mark 6, 30 through 34, and then 53 through 56. The apostles gathered around Jesus and told him all that they had done and taught. He said to them, "Come away to a deserted place all by yourselves and rest a while." For many were coming and going, and they had no leisure even to eat. And they went away in a boat to a deserted place by themselves. Now many saw them going and recognized them, and they hurried there on foot from all the towns and had arrived ahead of them. As he went ashore, he saw the great crowd and had compassion for them, because they were like sheep without a shepherd, and he began to teach them many things. When they had crossed over, they came to the land of Gennesaret and moored the boat. When they got out of the boat, people at once recognized him and rushed about the whole region and began to bring the sick on mats and to wherever they heard he was. And wherever he went, into the villages or the cities or the farms, they laid the sick in the marketplaces and begged him that they might even touch the fringe of his cloak, and all who touched it were healed. May God add his blessing to the reading of the word. Amen.
Thank you, Troy. Appreciate the reading. Anybody in here ever had a rough week at work? Anybody ever have family things going on, so many things in the family that you just become almost disoriented trying to keep up, frustrated, sometimes not knowing what to do or how to do it? If I were to ask you, what is it to you, what does it mean to you to have a spiritual life, what would you say? What to you is a spiritual life? I've asked many people this question through the years. And when I ask, I get some really interesting answers. These are actual answers. Well, for me, the spiritual life is cooking. When I cook, I feel calm and I feel at peace. Some said when I can get some time and I get alone, I read a book. And it makes me feel good and I feel calm. I've had some say it's when I walk my dog. That's the spiritual life. And all too often, many people think the spiritual life is part of our daily stuff that we do. But the spiritual life is not. And I can tell you that the spiritual life is something that takes years to learn. It's a process. And the more you practice it and get into it, the better it works for you in getting in touch with God. And when you get in touch with God, then you have your source of energy. If we think spirituality is only about justice or helping the poor or helping the sick or helping the homeless, the question for us then is, what spirit do we follow? The spirit of God or the spirit of the world? You see, we tend to bring God into the world of our thoughts and desires, when we should be bringing ourselves into the thoughts and desires of God. That's the spiritual life. And that's our ongoing struggle, is I just don't have time. I don't even have time to pray. There's just so much going on in my life. I'm not going to pray at work in front of everybody. I feel ridiculous. I can't even get a moment at home and tell people, hey, just give me 5 minutes. Just 5 minutes alone. You'll hear people say they just can't do that. And you wonder why. Is there someone in this congregation, in the choir, who can't get 5 minutes alone if you asked for it? See, Jesus understood and understands how we divide into two branches of thought on this. He was aware of his disciples' responses to the pushing and pulling of daily life. He could sense the stress in them, and he knew when it was time for him and his disciples to rest, to regenerate their spiritual life. You see, he says to them, and I want you to pay careful attention to these words. He says to them, come away to a deserted place by yourselves and rest a while. Unfortunately, that didn't work. You heard Troy Reed. Jesus says, hey, you know what? It's gotten hectic. I can tell you guys are worn out. Let's just go over somewhere else and we'll get a break. By the time they got there, there was a crowd waiting on them. They saw him go. You imagine what Jesus and the disciples were thinking? I'm just trying to get a moment alone. And as Troy read, they're not only there, they're bringing people for him to heal. Here you go. We got a few here and a few here. Come on, let's get it going. And so Jesus knows they need a break. But when? So it didn't work for them. And if we don't attend to our own spiritual and emotional needs, what good are we to anyone? Have you known anyone like that who doesn't attend to their own emotional and spiritual needs? Who just keeps going and going and going? Do you know what happens to those people? Are you married to someone like that? Are you like that? Because see, here's what happens. When we do that and we don't take time to tend to our spiritual needs, we become irritable. We become angry. We become unkind. Just get away from me. I'm so tired of you. Just go on. We're just not nice people. Not because we're not nice people, but because that nice person hadn't tended to their own emotional and spiritual needs. Jesus wants us to stop, to think, to meditate, to ponder, to wonder, to pay attention, and to pray. For those of us who don't, Jesus says, come away to a deserted place all by yourselves and rest. Because he knows how important that is. Which is telling us you need to tend to your own spiritual and emotional needs in order to be good enough to help others. You can't help people if you're tired, if you're worn out, if you're not thinking straight. There's cosmetic treatments, which we talked about earlier. You can walk the dog, read a book, you can cook. But that's simply not good enough to re-energize our spiritual needs. They're nice. They may help calm us. But we're not really resting in the Lord. Jesus tells us that in the desert, we can have a sense of ourselves again. No noise besides our noise and the wind. No presence besides our presence. And no company besides the plants and animals. In the desert, there is no peace in our hearts if we don't have peace. We have to find that. In the desert, we must control our minds, not for the sake of controlling, but to free ourselves from anxiety, fear, and endless movement. There are people going through difficult times and they just don't tend to their needs, and then they become paranoid. They become scared. They become anxious. They're not good to anybody, most especially to themselves. In counseling, Laura and I will discuss the number of people who come for therapy and say, I don't like being alone. You know there are people who don't like being alone. Are you one of those people? We encourage them to get off by themselves and to pray and to think and to take care of their spiritual needs. And they say, I don't want to be alone with my thoughts. I don't like what I think. Do you not like what you think? Are you one of these people that can't be alone because you're in fear of being alone? You know, in our society today, we grow up in a home, usually, where we can run over, if we get scared, turn on the TV so we'll have some noise. Crank up the radio. Look at our phone. Look at an iPad. Get on a computer. We have so many distractions, so we never have to be alone. Turn everything off. Turn everything off and see what happens. When we do guided meditation and therapy, we ask the people to sit and to listen to their breathing. Do you know that that's one of the most helpful things in the world? If you sit alone in a quiet room and you can hear your air coming in and out, that's actually restorative. It helps you. It's just you and your breathing. Now, I'll tell you, and I've seen this happen, somebody will come in for counseling, and it's pretty obvious they're worn. It's pretty obvious that they need some peace. It's pretty obvious that they need to tend to their spiritual needs. And the first thing we say is, well, we're going to give you some guided meditation. I go, whoa, I'm not Buddhist. What? Well, if you're going to meditate, you've got to be like Buddha. You've got to cross your legs, sit under a tree. Like, where did you get this? They think it's chanting. That's just so not what meditation is about. Can you meditate that way? Absolutely. Is it required? No. You can go into a room in your house, shut the door, and for 10 minutes sit in the quiet listening to your heart and your breathing. And I promise you, if you do that without distraction, now don't sit in that room and think, oh, I can hear someone cooking or I can hear someone. No, quiet and hear your breathing. Feel your heart. It'll be unlike anything you've ever done before. You might even get so used to it you want to do it all the time. That's how good it is. So here's what Jesus would do and would teach his disciples to do. Stop so you can hear your own life force that my Father has given you. That's what he did. We're going to go off. I want you to feel God's presence. And we're so busy and people are all around us, you can't even hear God. But I'm going to show you how. Go off by yourself and listen. And if you don't think God gave you breath, you got another thing coming. Imagine walking with Jesus, and every time you turned around, people were crowding you constantly, wanting something from you. Can you relate to that? Jesus and his disciples go to a deserted place, and by the time they arrive, people are there, stopping them from having any private time. And later in the story that we heard from Troy, they cross over into Gennesaret, and when they got out of the boat, people at once recognized him, and they all started crowding him and bringing people to him. He tried once. That didn't work, so he tries somewhere else. We have lives like that. We have lives where every time we turn around, something comes up. You've heard the old saying, no rest for the weary? These disciples are weary. Now, I'd like for you to think about this, and I want you to think about yourself being the desert. Okay, you're the desert. And then what you do in the world, your job, whatever that may be, is the world. In the desert, we hear the words we speak. We hear the silence we produce, and we attend to the movements of our body, like breathing. If what Jesus says is true, and I believe it is, and we are that desert place, we just have to get alone so that we can feel it, the more we understand ourselves, the better we can understand what we do. That's a fact. The more we understand ourselves, the better we can understand the world. So, I'm going to tell you a story because here's what I'm thinking. Some of you may be thinking, well, what's he talking about? Being like the desert fathers, for those of you who know who they were, St. Anthony went out in the desert. A bunch of monks, people, decided that the best way to live was just to get away from everyone and be with God. So they moved out into caves and tents. That is not what Jesus called us to do. Maybe this will help. There was a man who said, I want to see the perfect painting of peace. So he went around looking and he never found it. He couldn't find a painting that truly represented peace. So he decided to have a contest. And he said, here's what I'm going to do. I want people to submit their paintings of peace, and then we'll judge which one is the best. He got hundreds of paintings. They had a big contest. All these people came. They're sitting in the audience as they show one picture after another, and people are going, oh my, that's just beautiful. That's great. But all paintings were eliminated except two, and the two that weren't eliminated had a cloth over them. And they said to the audience, it's come down to these two paintings. We want you to decide which one actually shows peace. So they unveiled the first picture. The first picture was absolutely beautiful. It had a nice glassy lake. There were sheep walking next to that lake. The water wasn't moving at all. Beautiful sunshine, green leafy trees. It was very beautiful, and the people said, absolutely. That's peace. But then they went to the second picture. When they unveiled the second picture, everyone gasped because it showed a powerful waterfall cascading down a rocky precipice. The crowd could feel the coldness of that water as it poured over the edge. There were stormy gray clouds that threatened to explode with lightning and wind and rain. And in the midst of the thundering noises and bitter chill, there was a spindly tree that clung to the rocks at the edge of the waterfall. One of its branches reached out in front of the torrential waters as if seeking to feel the power of this waterfall. And there, in the elbow of the branch, was a nest. And there was a bird sitting on her eggs. The people just couldn't believe what they were seeing. Content and undisturbed in her stormy surroundings, she rested on her eggs with her eyes closed and her wings ready to cover her little ones. She manifested peace that transcends earthly turmoil. And that's what Jesus calls us to do. He says, I want you in the world. We never saw Jesus run away. He constantly was in the throes of humanity. But find peace in that. Find the time to look at your spouse or your kids or whoever and say, I'm going to go into this room for 10 minutes. Give me 10 minutes because I have to have time to restore my spiritual energy. That's not a lot to ask. So Jesus says, come away to a desert place because I want you to be able to help others, and you can't if you don't help yourself. I encourage you to read this text over and over. Nowhere does Jesus say not to help others. Nowhere does he say to withdraw to the desert permanently and not be part of the world. However, he does say rest a while. That is, prepare yourself for your work in a way where only God can recharge your spirit. One of the things, and you remember a few weeks ago, went to Cape Cod. The topic was mindfulness. And in counseling, that's what we call it, mindfulness. And that's when we ask people to meditate and we give them guidance. And we will tell a story and we'll create this picture in their head of a beautiful place. And we say, now, listen to your breathing. And they do. And when they leave, at least they say, they feel more peaceful, more content. If we aren't willing to take care of ourselves, if the disciples had not been willing to take care of themselves, Jesus would have found them utterly useless. So what do we do? when Jesus says, come away to a deserted place all by yourselves and rest a while. By yourselves. I believe those in our congregation who live alone can witness to the fact it takes getting used to and requires being comfortable with yourself. Again, there are those who just cannot do it. They say, I can't be alone. But we have people who live alone. I believe Jesus was our first great psychotherapist. He met people where they were in life, then changed their lives. How simple he made it look. I'm going to give you some examples of therapy that Jesus did. I want you to listen. Pay attention. Matthew 9, 1 through 5. And after getting into a boat, he crossed the sea and came to his own town. And just then, some people carrying a paralyzed man lying on a bed. When Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, take heart, son, your sins are forgiven. Then some of the scribes said to themselves, this man is blaspheming. But Jesus, perceiving their thoughts, said, why do you think evil in your hearts? For which is easier to say, your sins are forgiven, or to say, stand up and walk? This was a man who was paralyzed. This is the point of the story, a man paralyzed by his sin. We have people like that. And when he hears, you are forgiven, suddenly he's okay. Sometimes we just need to be forgiven. And sometimes we don't ask for that. John 8, 3 through 11, the scribe brought a woman who had been caught in adultery and making her stand before all of them. They said to him, teacher, this woman was caught in the very act of committing adultery. Now in the law, Moses commanded us to stone such women. Now what do you say? They said this to test him so they might have some charge to bring against him. Jesus bent down, wrote with his finger on the ground. When they kept on questioning him, he straightened up and said to them, let anyone among you who is without sin be the first to throw a stone at her. And once again he bent down and wrote on the ground. When they heard it, they went away one by one, beginning with the elders. And Jesus was left alone with the woman standing before him. Jesus straightened up and said to her, listen carefully, this is what he says to her. Woman, where are they? Has no one condemned you? No one, sir. And Jesus said, neither do I condemn you. Go your way, and from now on, do not sin again. She needed to hear that. Had she not heard those words, she would probably go out and continue that life. But he said, I don't condemn you, which means I forgive you. Again, so many times in life we feel condemned by others, and it stops us from having a productive life because we worry and worry about how other people see us. For those of us who just go and go and go without taking time for ourselves, we can witness to the fact that we become drained physically, mentally, and spiritually, and when we don't receive the peace that you can give other people simply by forgiving them or reaching out to them, we have a problem. And this is the last one that I'll bother you with, but from 1 John, 2nd chapter, verse 12. I am writing to you, little children, because your sins are forgiven for his sake. You might want to read that one over and over, because if you don't feel forgiven, that'll do it. So many of us in this world are feeling drained, yet we take no time for ourselves. If we were to take time in spite of any fears of being alone with our thoughts, we could hear God's still small voice giving words of encouragement and saying to us, your sins are forgiven. I do not condemn you, but love you. No longer feel drained, but uplifted. For lo, I am with you always until the end of the age. What better way to feel good about yourself, that you have a loving God who will forgive, who will encourage, and when you take time for yourself, will speak to your heart and mind. Get to that place. Get rid of your anxiety. Get rid of your fears. Get God into your heart. The world will take it over, guaranteed. And when the world takes over your heart, you're drained. Give God the time to heal you and to make you stronger. Let us pray. Gracious God, coming before you, we know that often we don't even take the time to communicate with you. We pray, but so often as we pray, we're distracted. We're thinking about other things. We come to you and we're very tired and in need of your regenerative spirit. We ask that you bring that spirit into our lives today. Fill us throughout the week and throughout our lives, that we may serve you faithfully and cheerfully, knowing that you are our God and you forgive us and you love us. For we ask this in your Son's name. Amen. Our invitational hymn is Are Ye Able, Said the Master, hymn number 621. We'll sing verses 1 and 4. If there is anyone who would like to join the church by a profession of faith or transfer of letter, I ask that you come forward as we stand and sing this hymn.
We're glad that you joined us today for this special message, and we pray that you will join us again next week as God's Word is brought to you.